Hello, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Alchemist Club. I'm Joe, your host, and very tired dungeon master, back for another thrilling D&D adventure. Joining me here today, we have...
Daniel, playing Jetfleet.
Hey, Hall, playing Desmond.
I'm Zach, and I play Falrock.
I'm Matt, and I play Leyland.
Waffle, playing Tarja Kaiko.
We appear to be fan letterless yet again. Patches has once again let us down. So, who wants to give a recap of what happened last time on the Alchemist Club?
I made a decision with a capital D to fire a maximum level lightning bolt into an orb we suspected contained the animus essence of several Elder Storm elementals. And
they were ghosts. Let's be real. Those are elemental ghosts.
Those are elemental ghosts. A ghost can have... An elemental can have a ghost, and we've discovered it that day. Mm-hmm. And created for a brief moment the mindless homunculus of rage known only as the Stormfather, and then Desmond solved the situation with incredible divine powers as usual.
I made a out of
sea level. Once he leveled up correctly.
Yeah. we all stopped and looked at the script and we're like, hang on, it says Desmond's able to cast this spell. And we all shuffle and look at each other's scripts. We're like, Desmond, yeah. Why aren't you casting the spell?
And then he casts
the spell. But yeah, it all worked out perfectly. And then we were politely but firmly asked to leave.
That's one interpretation of what happened.
We got kicked out. That's the better interpretation.
Possibly permanently.
Oh, probably permanently.
Nah. Oh, it's how it's always going to be with these people. It's permanently until they need something from us. And then it's, oh, heroes, come and save us from the rampaging mecha dragon. And we'll be like, say no more, fam. You know we're always willing to come help, because we're good people.
No, we're not. But we will help.
We can hang pretend. On. At least I try to be.
One person here is good. At minimum.
I would argue that my motives are good, even if my actions do not always appear that way.
We can quibble. We can quibble.
Yeah. We probably will at a later date.
Wild card, and now that he has his purpose that we know of has been completed, now it's kind of terrifying because he's just a wild card without a purpose.
I know, it's incredible. I solved my character arc, and I barely had to change at all. It turns out I was right all along.
You at least learned to meditate somewhere in the middle.
I did. Yes, you're right. I did learn to take a more measured approach.
At least the character growth might have been like a tree on any given Sunday, but there was a little bit of growth there.
Yeah, I'm unrecognizable from
it sounds like you're the good one on it.
And then after all that, we took Telephorus to the Arakakra. We anchored it for some much-needed tree R&R. And then we headed into Jux because Desmond is hankering for some soup.
Yep. That's what's happening.
The long and short of it.
Not metaphorical soup, as far as we know. Just
no.
Soup.
Pretty sure it's literal soup.
Real soup, yeah.
Actual soup.
Yep.
Not even good soup.
You don't know that. Anyway.
So.
You're on your way to Jux.
Yep.
Jux and, being the capital city of Jux.
And we had discussed previously that we should probably be in disguises because, you know, things are what they are.
Mm-hmm. You just shot down the Valor of Jux.
Yeah. Yeah, they might be a little bit on edge. So I have disguised myself as a portly middle-aged fellow with graying hair, and I'm thinking maybe like we might even want to split ourselves up on the road so we're not like all one gaggle of easily recognizable cons, but like Leyland could follow us in the woods, or Ched could be, you know, flying overhead, or maybe someone else is just like separate so that we look a little less conspicuous.
You know what? Absolutely do split the party.
Yeah. I'm thinking probably Leyland, not to single you out or like exclude you from the party, but like you have the ability to teleport within shadows, so if anybody can be nearby, out of sight, and then instantly with us if the situation calls for it, it's you.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look out of place with any group of
You do have that blurry in photographs quality to you.
He looks real sick. He looks like he's been fighting with the flu for a long time and losing.
Yeah.
So we're just headed down the road to Jux. I'm sure there's other traffic that we have to pass by on occasion.
Yep. Plenty of farmers heading into the city. Traders, travelers going in both directions. It's a fairly well-traveled road. So, plenty of people. Plenty of people that you're going to have to kind of walk beside, hang out with, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I asked any children if they want to join a pirate crew.
Okay. You are very much going to attract the attention of the local constabulary if
I do the thing where I kind of like I laugh it off and I pat him, and you know, a concerned looking parent is nearby. I'm like, I'm really sorry, you're gonna have to we call him Grandpa. He's not actually my grandfather, but I'm taking care of him.
It's been sure
to a dear friend. His mind is long gone, but he's still got a good heart, so if you could just play along for a couple of minutes, I'm really sorry for the inconvenience here. Thank you. Jux be with you.
He doesn't look old enough to be your grandpa.
I look a little scandalized with this. I look around like, oh, did this person just say that? You do know how his people age, right? It's... never mind. We shouldn't discuss this. I'm sorry. Please just go about your business. And I cast a look back at him, and I get a little bit choked up, and I'm like, it's kind of a reverse thing. You see, God.
Can I get a deception check?
Sure.
Can I?
I rolled a nat 20.
What on earth?
So that is a total of 30 on deception.
Oh my god.
The farmer that you are talking to looks very chagrined, takes his hat and holds it, you know, kind of over his heart and says, I'm so sorry. Let's go, little Johnny. Let's get out of here and leave the poor old man alone.
And then I like loud enough that, you know, he and other people in earshot can hear it. I go up and I go, which way's the wind blowing, Captain?
Westward.
You heard it, lads. Raise the mizzen.
Farhawk just shakes his head and just, aye, aye.
Oh, it's so hard, you know, watching the elderly.
I hand Desmond a water skin, like, here you go, Grandpa. The water skin's empty.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we have to repeat.
Yeah, I know. That's why I handed it to you.
5 or 6 times over the course of a day. But...
Yeah. Basically.
Hopefully that deflects enough attention.
Eventually, like, people come across your adventuring party, and they like you. They're looking at you and whispering, like, "That's the senile old man. He's gonna ask you if you want to join a pirate crew."
We start a little routine where we go like a quarter mile ahead of the group, and we hand out like fake doubloons that they can hand over to him when they get when they get waylaid by pirates. Like, just give this to him. It really makes his day. If you could pretend to be like a little bit scared, or like, you know, if you call him captain and just give him this, he'll, oh, when you see him smile, it'll really just warm your whole heart. Please do it for an old man. Do it for an old man with a dream. But yeah, we do a little bit of song and dance and make our way to Jux.
Whoosh.
Make your way downtown.
Yeah, we're going downtown. To the other side of the train tracks. But that's okay.
Dagummit, you... Listen, this is where I was going to introduce Vanessa Carlton, and you spoiled it by calling it out. Like, your next encounter was going to be the piano, but fine. You've ruined it.
I would kill for a piano duet with Vanessa Carlton.
Anyway, yeah. As you're walking, you do run across a squad of guards who look like they are kind of sizing up travelers, comparing them to sketches that they have, and they are clearly like looking for somebody, and that somebody could very well be you.
Could be.
Nah, there's no way it's us.
They come up to your little group.
Okay. Just a brief explanation of my disguise. I'm noticing a pattern with a lot of Terrajux disguises. I'm like a middle-aged man who missed the on-ramp to the midlife crisis, and now I'm just kind of sad.
Yeah.
Like, Alador Rellenwell, what you have to understand about this man is that he calls himself a novelist, but he's never published a novel in
Look,
his life.
I didn't ask to be attacked.
Seriously, what the hell, man? God.
Sorry. He's an aspiring novelist, and someday he's going to get there, and all his friends believe in him. he's a kind of a slightly plumper man, very clearly has not, you know, he's not a bandit on the run who would have been able to destroy the Valor of Jux. Why are you even asking? He's the kind of guy where, for most people, your eyes would just skip right across him like he's a patch of greased granite. Like, he's nothing. And he is currently at the forefront of this group of travelers, lending an unremarkable nature to their otherwise very remarkable presence.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Falrock would have put on his Abbey robes. And he would have slung the gauntlets sort of with his pack across from where he keeps the purse, because a cleric of Senti has to have a good hammer and gauntlets, right?
Ah.
So.
Impersonating the clergy, I like it.
I mean, we've got another person who's like... If we need a holy nature, we can make holy stuff happen. Like,
yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And then, Leylin, you're not with us, right? Or
no, I was gonna say I am nearby though, in like a good, like, position, like sniper position. That if this starts to go south, I can pick off two of them like in an instant.
Okay.
How busy is the road around?
There are probably a dozen other travelers that are walking kind of in your general direction.
Well, that's not great.
Yeah, if you start a fight here, you are going to cause a scene with a capital S.
Yeah.
Well,
I've got a performance joke for them whenever it's my turn to talk to
them. Oh, okay. God. Well, Ched, what are you like these days?
Just What do you mean? I'm flying above the city waiting for some kind of signal. Otherwise, okay, so I'm not going to go into the city. Signal. Yeah.
That's probably a good idea. You're that or being a horse, yeah.
Is that a good idea?
Back to only the old so much... standby.
Yeah, look, such a good standby.
Look, that did work.
It did.
So, no, I just don't want to. I don't want to waste a wild shape. I don't know how long I'm going to need to use it, and it could run out.
We're not even in the city yet, right? This is still like outside at the entrance, or.
You're about 3/4 of the way there.
Okay.
And I can find you all, so.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
As long as you're wearing your rings.
You just look for the most outrageous and ridiculous group of people on the road, and there they are.
Yeah. But yeah, as we draw close to these guards, I have nothing to be afraid of and nothing to hide. I'm a upstanding citizen of Jux, so I... tip my slightly rumpled straw hat to them, and I say, "Afternoon, officer."
Just hold on a moment here, travelers. We need to make some quick checks of things. And they,
you know, I'm famous at the Eversea, right?
That's very good, sir. If you could,
I pat him a little bit, and I kind of, you know, like lean in a little bit. He's like, "Is there sir, has there been trouble on this road? I heard rumors of bandits, but I didn't think they'd be this close to the capital."
No, not bandits. We've got militaries shaking some things up, and they asked us to conduct a search of travelers heading into the city, so we're just gonna take a look, see if you match any of the sketches that we have here. He flips through a little book.
Is he, like, being secretive about the sketches, or can I look over and appraise the sketches?
He doesn't appear to be, like, making any real effort to conceal them. Make a perception check.
Sure. I'm gonna roll the 2.
You catch a glimpse of a beautifully rendered watercolor rose, but that's it.
Okay.
So, yeah. He kind of compares, holds it up, squints, turns it sideways. The other guards are looking at Falrock and Desmond. And one of them, the one who's kind of comparing Falrock, says, "Sir, can you step over here for a minute, please?"
"Certainly, sir."
Oh, no.
Did they just racially profile Falrock? Yeah,
of course.
You're the only person here that feasibly couldn't be racially profiled.
Yeah.
All right, I want to try to distract them with my terrible joke.
Okay, go for it. What's the terrible joke?
Hey, lads, do you know what they call... Do you know what the barber says with 2 peg arms on the pirate ship?
I... No.
Scissor what? Me timbers.
They look at each other, and they look back at you, and they're like, "What's a pirate ship?"
Landlubbers.
Yeah.
What is the terrain like on this road around, as I see, like, them pull Balrock to the side?
It's there are a couple of trees, kind of pleasantly shaded trees planted along the road. Past that, it's farmlands this close to the city.
Okay. Where are they in relation to everyone else?
Where? Who? You'll be more specific, please.
Where are the trees in relation to where this is going down now?
I would assume that they are kind of, you know, nearby, within 30 feet or so, because you'd be traveling on one side of the road.
Okay. Want to light one of those trees on fire with an arrow as a distraction.
Oh, boy. What?
Guys, I can talk my way out of this. God. What the hell?
Oh, boy. Okay, make an attack roll.
So, before I do that, I'm casting, because I'm like in the shadows, way off the path or whatever, just kind of watching from a distance, and I just see Falrock being kind of taken to the side, being talked to by this guard.
And the guard is over there like, hey buddy, I don't mean to like profile, you know you're a dwarf. I'm trying to get a ring for my fiance, and I was wondering if you could like maybe make some recommend, and then a tree explodes.
But
go for it.
Where I'm shooting from, there's not anyone that should see me, plus in as much shadow as possible.
I'll have you make a sneak check.
A sneak check?
Yeah, make a hide check.
What is a hide check?
Stealth.
Okay, just a stealth check. Okay, yeah. Next time just say a stealth check.
I could not remember what the actual word for the skill was. Listen, dear audience, I still have COVID brain. I had COVID last week, and it sucks. And I'm recovering. So, yeah.
Total of 23 on the hide sneak pass check.
Thank you. I'm going to defend myself by saying that sneak is very similar to stealth, and you probably could have made that leap all by yourself.
Alright. So I'll shoot my arrow now.
Okay. So, Falrock, The guard pulls you over to the side and is like, sir, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. You match the sketch pretty closely by the looks of things. So I realize that this is probably a huge inconvenience and it's unlikely that you're the figure that we want. But I just wanted to, where are you coming from? What's your business in the city?
I have been sent by Senti. I am inspecting every forge on this side of the continent.
Okay, the tree, my brethren and I, immediately adjacent to you bursts into flames.
What? Fine. This.
And I bring out the hammer, and I smack the tree. And I'm going to use creation to pull the fire off the tree onto the hammer.
Okay.
Oh, Desmond's losing his mind.
The innovations in fire suppression technology.
A sign. I am on the right track. There is a forge what needs me ahead.
The guard is just kind of like mouth open, staring. He's like, okay. Yeah, why don't you go on your way and have a nice day, sir?
Falrock just kind of nods, but is clearly staring at the flaming hammer.
I give like a knowing nod to the other guard, and I say, "Yeah, I've seen that a couple times. This other time, it was like a burning bush. It was a
thought I heard some voices.
You get used to it." It's handy start campfires, I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
Now, children, come gather round the fall rock. Roast your marshmallows. Oh, don't get too close to his beard. You'll set it on fire, ruin the mallow.
Fall Rock walks back out with the hammer and starts, like, pointing it like a compass to see if the fire changes one way or another.
What is it, boy? What do you see? Is there a forge? Is there a forge?
He's dowsing.
Companions, we must go.
He's forge dowsing.
And I like stiffen up and I fumble some paper out and I say, are you getting divine inspiration? I'm ready to record your words.
No, there is a forge what needs me, and I'm that way.
And it's literally just straight down the road towards the city.
And I tip my hat again to the guards. I say, I have to keep up with him. He might have a moan of divine revelation at any time, and I have to record it for posterity.
Anyway, the guards kind of confer for a little while behind you, and then continue looking at various people with their sketches. And come on, guys.
Once we are out of eyeshot and earshot, I just put my hands on my hips and I, to no one in particular, just say, that was a little bit dramatic.
Farrakh waves out the fire on the hammer and is like, yeah, that was much, but hey, it sold the story.
It did. I'm thinking maybe we need to disguise you a little bit more.
True. Got any grease?
Oh, I always have grease.
Alright, oh boy. Hand it over.
I'm going to grease my beard,
my hair. I am going to look like an entirely different head of hair.
We need filts.
No. I've got mousse and all kinds of hair treatments. I don't personally use them because my hair is naturally windswept perfection. But in this particular case, Alador Rellenwell's hair is like limp and faintly curly and much, much darker. So I am wearing product at the moment, and I share some with Falrock.
You're going to need to resupply in town.
Oh, yeah. I always do.
I need a lot of it. But yeah, the beard is now a sufficiently different color, as is the hair. So that will help.
A little bit of that. And then, Desmond, I still can't do a whole lot for you.
I didn't even bother him.
I'm fine. Okay, that joke works super good. I set a tree on fire with it.
It was so bad. It set a tree on fire.
Well, Cinti willing, next time you will be set aflame for your crimes instead.
Teamwork.
No one inspected the tree too well to find the arrow protruding of it that caused the flame.
Yeah.
But you know, when everyone says, you know, oh, you know, had to be, you know, a miracle. Then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle we didn't just have to kill 5 guards.
Well, I figured I would have tried to, like, hit the arrow with the hammer, so
no one would have really noticed.
Yeah. Or just break it. Like, they wouldn't have noticed.
Right.
All right. Onward and upward, I suppose.
Onward and upward.
We solved the road navigation puzzle.
A simple conversation encounter.
Yeah.
Yep. So, shortly thereafter, you arrive at the gates of Jux. And as you might expect, there's a bit of a roadblock going on here. Everybody going into the city is being subjected to pretty intense questioning. So there's like a small little tent city that's arisen around the gates. And as you approach, you see that there are members of the Juxian Guard kind of standing on the road outside the tent city, and as you approach, they hold up a hand and say, please, travelers, you'll need to take a number. When your number is called, you will be questioned by the gate guard, and if you make it through the screening, you will be welcomed into the city. This may take a day or two, as you can see from the number of people that are here, but rest assured, we are working day and night to make sure that everybody gets into the city in as timely a fashion as possible. And, you know, you can set up a campsite in section 7B, and he points to a patch of grass kind of at the edge of the tent city. Says, if you have any questions, now would be a good time to ask them, because we are going to be busy with the next group of travelers coming in behind you.
I do a little bit of the, like, sputtering and, like, mild customer service level indignation of, like, what's all this about? What's the... this is absurd. Last time I was here, we were ushered right in, and it wasn't a problem. Because it would be weird if we just went, okay, thanks, and left. Like, I feel like that's more suspicious. So, I am the correct amount of irritated for someone who is trying to get into the city, but not, like... And that, like, hackles raised, like, ah! So, yeah, I ask him what's going on. I ask him, like, oh, do I need to have anything prepared? I wasn't expecting to have to be subjected to screening or anything like that. Last time I came through here, we were just ushered right in. Has something happened to Jux?
Well, word came down from military command that there might be some unsavory characters attempting to get into the city, and so we're here to make sure that they don't keep the people of Jux safe.
I assure you, we're just the spicy type of individuals. No savory here.
well,
savory people are exactly the kind of people we want in the city.
Not sweet, not salty.
Well, thank you for your service, Captain. And then I head off to Section 7B with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I look around and see if there's any beggars or, you know,
yeah,
people of the look that would work for Prince of Coin.
Of course there are.
yeah, okay. I'll drop a. I don't remember what the going rate is for hobo assistance. I think I just drop a gold piece into a cup kind of surreptitiously. And then I usher Desmond a little bit closer to have a conversation with this feller.
I'm busy. I need to go do something. I'm going to go set the tent up.
I'll help.
No. I got it.
Farrok suddenly wants to help even more.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm at least going to supervise.
I exchange a couple words with the beggar here in that sort of roundabout thieves can't adjacent euphemism talk to make sure that they know that Terrajux and Falrock, etc., are here, and you know, we're looking to get into the city, and we're interested in partaking of soup, if that means anything to them. I explain that we're here on the captain's behalf, and clearly he has some kind of audience that he seeks, but I don't know the details. So and I make sure there's nobody, like, eavesdropping on me when I say, like, we can make it into the city on our own if we need to, but if there is some other method that would be better for our mutual acquaintance, you know where to find us. And then I go help set up the tent.
Okay.
How big is our plot of land?
It's about 10 feet square.
Okay. Is there like a bigger area, maybe like 120 feet by 120 feet?
What?
What are you about to do?
He's setting up the tent.
Yeah, I'm setting the tent up, actually.
I mean, what you are on the profile. You're on the edge of like the little tent city that's here, so you could, like, in theory, expand into the adjacent field. That would probably draw some concern from guards and approaching travelers.
I cast Temple of the Gods, and I create a 120 foot by 120 foot temple to Aquila while we wait.
Let me check something.
Do you just not understand that we're disguised, or do you just not care?
We're gonna get all... It's fine. We're gonna have all these people come in. It'll be great.
Casting time.
Man has a big tent policy. What can you say? Like,
lasts for a day. You cause a temple to shimmer into existence on ground you can see within range, must fit within an unoccupied cube of space up to 120 feet on each side.
Dedicated. Up to? We could do a 10 by 10.
No, we're doing the full thing. In for a pound, for a pound.
You make all decisions about the temple's appearance.
You could just interrupt his casting.
I'm gonna give him architectural tips.
I'm just gonna berate him with like, oh no. That needs to have a flying buttress.
And I'm over on the other side, like, ooh, make sure it has a water slide.
Only you and creatures you designate when you cast the spell can open or close the door. Temple's interior is an open space with an idol or altar at one end. You decide whether it's illuminated, whether it's bright or dim. Opposes types of creatures you choose when you cast the spell. One or more of the following celestials, elementals, fey, fiends, or undead. Christopher, any of those?
Let's do undead. Okay. No undead allowed.
No undead allowed. If a creature of the chosen type attempts to enter the temple, that creature must make a charisma saving throw. On a failed save, it can't enter for 24 hours. Even if it can, the magic there hinders it. Whenever it makes an attack roll, ability check, or saving throw, it's roll a d4 and subtract the number. Sensors created by divination spells can't appear inside the temple, and creatures within can't be targeted by divination. Whenever any creature in the temple regains hit points from a spell of first level or higher, it regains additional hit points equal to Desmond's wisdom modifier. No ethereal travel, nothing can physically pass through it, it can't be dispelled, and anti-magic has no effect on it, but disintegrate will destroy the temple instantly. If you come back here and cast it on the same spot every day for a year, the temple will be permanent.
Oh my god. Again, very cool, very useful. Why?
Okay, so this temple appears. The guards are kind of distraught at this sudden, like, there's a sense of magic kind of permeating the air, and then at the end of the hour, the temple kind of shimmers and shines into existence, like line tracings that become a full three-dimensional structure. And there it is. Presumably, Desmond then goes inside.
Complete with the water slide around the water feature of Aquila, and there is a barbecue pit out front for feeding everybody outside.
Perfect. And just for my own reference, in case any undead show up, what is your spell saving throw, DC?
18.
Just in case any undead show
up. Yeah.
You know, all those zombies we've been fighting this entire campaign.
That's you look around and notice that everybody waiting outside the city is a zombie. They're just very orderly. No, that's a joke. Okay. So that happens, and Desmond goes inside. The guards can only get in if you allow them in.
No, they're not allowed.
So Desmond goes in. Farrakh and Terajux and Leylin, do you follow?
I suppose I must, yeah.
I haven't been with them this whole time, so I truly don't know what's going on. So
I mean, you watch this happen from a distance.
Oh, yes! Yes. So, like, I don't remember this in the plan.
Captain Devin doesn't sleep outside anymore.
Alright, well, I guess, we head inside.
Yeah.
Okay, so the three of you go inside and shut the door. And the guards bang on the outside and can do nothing about it.
All right, you know how to create food.
Nope.
Chet does, right?
Chet's not here, though.
Josh is flying over the city.
Message him and tell him we need to get the barbecue ready for all these hungry people.
Is Desmond going to feed the many with fishes and loaves?
That's right.
Okay.
Oh boy.
We have the burning bush. We have
the
biblical today. All right. Well, I swap out disguises for a disgruntled line cook, and I get ready.
Do you have an extra chef's hat? I'm gonna need it.
I assume there's trestle tables in here and benches, and we can start getting the place ready for a giant potluck.
My assumption was that the inside was mostly swimming pool.
It's a swim up potluck.
An infinity pool, yeah.
It's an infinity pool.
Yeah.
Of course.
There's water beds too.
And then I stop halfway through setting out the 100th folding chair and I just go, Desmond, what the hell are we doing?
Aren't you hungry?
Well, yes, but why?
Why not?
Because we're trying to keep a low profile to make it into the city.
What? Sure, we're
keeping a low profile by feeding the many. So, I don't know of a Desmond that would do that.
He's got a point there. But Charity is the exact opposite of Desmond.
But counterpoint,
do they know him personally?
They don't know that you're greedy. They know what you look like. Actually, so as long as we don't draw attention to ourselves and look different, we're fine.
All these hungry people are going to be between me and the guards, so they won't be able to see me.
They likely know that you are a Genasi cleric. So this is setting off big alarms, I'm sure.
I'm starting to warm up to this idea, actually, because...
of course you are!
If the guards... So, I'll come clean now. I had an ulterior motive for agreeing to come into Jux. Once we were in there, I was going to start spreading some nasty rumors about the valor of Jux and what the power source was and, try to foment some... not rebellion, but a healthy amount of skepticism towards the decisions of the military. So,
the valor of Jux was powered by people.
Yeah, basically.
Soylent Green is people.
And I was gonna spread some rumors about when the ship went down, you could see a terrible demon's maw in the clouds, and there was a great whirlwind, and I shudder to think what engines of dark misery yet turn beneath the city. Why aren't the military telling us everything, man?
You are.
But this works out really nicely because if the crowd is on our side and the guards try to arrest us, they're going to be like, hey, why are you trying to arrest Wet Jesus? Maybe the government is bad. So I'm on board now. I'm all in. Desmond, tell me what you need done and I will do it.
Go ahead and get everything set up so we can feed these people. We need to get Ched. Chad a message so that he can get us some food to barbecue.
Aye, aye, Captain. And
where am I going to get food out in the middle of the wilderness?
Aren't you a druid?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Locate animal and kill it?
I mean, what about... we could cook some berries. Cook some good berries.
I don't have good berry.
Oh, okay. Well,
Why would I prepare good berries?
You could cook regular berries.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just let me go forage.
Desmond, don't you have create food and water?
Yeah, it's create water. We don't have to worry about water.
No, but sure. Create food and water.
What?
Never mind.
I mean, feast is probably available to me, but I didn't prepare it.
Okay,
I didn't know we were going to have a barbecue.
Yeah, obviously. What if we ride out the night... and then we serve everyone breakfast.
Okay. Sure.
Because obviously we're very underprepared for this brand new, incredible idea. Yeah. So, take a moment. Let's prepare ourselves for what we're about to do. Let's discuss our options.
I would
also
like
to... Where is Leylin? We want to make sure he has a safe place to sleep too.
Yeah. I would like to send a whisper message to Ched explaining everything that has just transpired and what the new plan is, which is apparently open a bed and breakfast, as all D&D players will inevitably do. And I formally request his presence within the Church of Aquila.
Also, hang on. Where do we sleep in here?
In the waterbed.
Said there were waterbeds.
Okay, I missed the waterbeds. I paid attention to the infinity pool.
They're not submerged, are they?
No.
They float on the pool.
I can even control the temperature of the water.
I mean, I'm just going to find somewhere to crouch, so...
Yeah, I guess talons don't mix very well with waterbed.
No, neither do wings.
Yeah.
I just... Ched literally just crouches to sleep. Okay, well, I'll wait till it gets dark enough that I can fly to this space under the cover of night.
And then, so my method for contacting Leylin here is going to be really stupid.
Uh-huh.
What it is I know he's out in the woods somewhere, but I don't know where. So I am going to project my voice to somewhere out in the woods, make a semi-obvious fake bird noise. It's just like, ra-ra! and then every so often I'll be like, Leylin, is that you? Say something. And then when he says something, I'll be able to hear it in the same area, and then I'll relay the message. And I will end this message with, also, we should think up a better signal, because this was really dumb. I've just been sitting here making bird noises for half an hour.
And all I say eventually is, you know what's really dumb? That there's a shrine to Aquila suddenly outside of Jux.
Agreed. But also...
It's only temporary.
The opportunities that this presents. This could be big for us, Leylin. And then the talking stump falls silent.
This is so stupid.
Yes. Joe, you had a whole session planned and everything.
Leylin,
like a sucker.
What are you going to do?
Scout out the area around it, because Leylin does not have any desire to go into a shrine of Aquila, given everything that happened last time. We had any dealings with the gods and the... whatever, you know, still does not have any trust of Aquila, and you know, this is the whole point of getting rid of the last Desmond. So,
okay, you see around the new shrine is that more people have kind of migrated in this direction and set up tents around, and they're like, where did this come from? Why is this here? Is it getting, you know, I didn't. And, you know, their story is spreading around the campsites of, like...
I make sure there's a sign on the door that says, come back for breakfast at whatever time of the morning.
God. Continental breakfast.
God, no, oh God, no. No, it's not continental.
When the crowd gets to be a little larger, I bring back out barrels of water. And I go, Aquila requires that your thirst be quenched, and I... Our loyal servant will be the means in which that is attained. Drink your fill.
Everybody swings by for some free water. That's right. Do you like bless the water or anything?
No.
Okay.
I would alcoholify it if I could, but that's not an ability I have.
You can do it the other way, but not that way. Yeah. I would say like maybe a third of the tent city comes by. Some of them bring like their own little water barrels or water skins to fill up.
Yep. And I just kind of, you know, just wave and oversee things to make sure everybody gets some.
Okay. Yeah. How long do you want to keep this up for?
Like a couple hours.
Okay.
It's fine.
After the crowd starts to disperse a little bit, the guards come up and they're like, "What the hell? Why is there a 120 square foot temple outside the city now?
What did you find?"
Yeah, one of them has a tape measure.
It turns out if we had made it 119 feet, it would have been totally fine with Injuxian building code.
Just trying to make sure that these people have the resources to live while they wait.
You couldn't have done that from like a normal campsite.
Absolutely not. I'm also, you know, and I'll lean in and kind of like get real close. I'm also trying to convert some people, if you know what I'm saying. Evangelizing. That's not illegal in Jux, is it?
He's technically outside of the city limits, says one of them. They shake their head and they're like, "How long is this going to be here?"
So we get to go in. If you could get us to the front of the line, I'll take it down.
God.
We'll be back in the morning to check in on you.
You guys thirsty?
No. I'm thirsty, says one of them.
Oh, okay. I pitch him a water skin.
He takes a long drink.
All right. Anytime. Free refills.
Okay. Are there any other things people want to do before we, you know, say it's nighttime and everybody goes to sleep?
All good.
No.
Okay. Ow. All right. Dusk falls. The little tent city lights up with torches and campfires, and you can smell things cooking. And you all cozy up on your waterbeds in the temporary temple of Aquila and go to sleep. And I think we're going to stop for the evening there. So that was not in any way, shape, or form anything even remotely resembling what I had planned for this episode, but that's fine.
You don't say!
Yeah. I did not realize that Christopher had Temple of the Gods, but it's fine.
He didn't know until last session either.
That's fair. I've been Joe, your host and Dungeon Master, for another thrilling D&D adventure. If you wish to get in touch with us, you can do so at thealchemistclub88@gmail.com or thealchemistclub88@gmail.com. You can find us on all of the podcast hosting platforms that there are to be on. And Matthew, what are our socials?
Find us at thealchemist_club on Twitter and at thealchemistclub on TikTok.
And our intrepid proselytizers today were...
Daniel playing Ched Bleak, who just glided through this episode.
Dale playing Desmond the Divine Architect.
I'm Zach, and I'm still fighting a fit of giggles.
I'm Matt, and I play Leyland.
Waffle playing Alador Relinwell.
Thanks for joining us.